Thank you, Chris. That has echoes of Anna at the temple. And can you remember his name now? Simeon. At the temple, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He'd been promised by God that he'd see that baby. And then Jesus was brought, and he saw. He just had echoes of that there. Amen. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you'll complete the work of salvation in his life. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God. I feel like if you just pray. We've had the grace of God for some reason upon jobs. There's been so many folks who've received jobs. That was just from standing up. You know, we just felt to pray for that, and feedback from that just seems to have gone on where folks have stepped into jobs and got jobs. And we thank God for that. Amen. Let's believe now for the healing. It's as if God said to us, look, you know, you asked and I answered. Now ask for that which you're afraid to ask for. Ask for it in Jesus' name. So shall we do that? And if that's you, as we pray, just you raise your hand, whether it's for you, whether it's for someone else, whether it's for a loved one, whether it's for a friend or a colleague. They need healing. Healing from the Lord. Father, we thank you that you've heard and you've answered prayer. You've given us faith in one area. Now, Lord, we pray, give us faith in this area. That as we pray and as we acknowledge each hand that is raised here this morning, whether it be for themselves or for the loved ones, Father, we pray, grant us faith to believe for healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you see, you know, and you know exactly what is needed. And so, Lord, we pray, hear our prayer. Hear our cry. And may we have testimony of you, again, you answering prayer. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It was in 1996, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II paid a visit to Romford. And I was there. Kids from here, St. Edward's Primary School, were there in the market, including Hannah. I can't remember if Sarah was there. Were you there, Sarah? But they were there. And so parents and stuff were there with the kids. And a cordon had been made in the marketplace. She came down past B&M. It wasn't B&M then, was it? It was something else then. I can't remember what it was. But down that street into the marketplace. And there was a cordon, a big sort of a balloon-shaped cordon. Car came in. And we were stood here. And lo and behold, the car came right round and stopped right in front of us. The door opened and out stepped Her Majesty. And as soon as she stepped out, she made a straight line for the nearest, which was... It wasn't really me, it was the kids she was after. It was the kids. But I was there behind, and she came shaking hands right where we were. And it was a surreal experience. Because you've seen on the news, you've seen films over all those years and everything, but here she was in the flesh, moving amongst us and shaking our hands. And we had respect for her then, but after that, we were sold. We were totally sold. She was lovely. All that we'd heard from a distance suddenly came to pass. The moment that we connected with her. And very simply this morning, I want to say a few things about, it's one thing having the intellectual understanding about God, but it's another matter when you meet him. It's another matter when you meet him. Back in the day, it wasn't the media, it wasn't TV, it wasn't newspapers and broadcasts, radio, etc. But back in 2,000 years ago, and before then, in the Old Testament times, it was the prophet. The prophet used to pronounce and speak out and deliver messages to the people, particularly on spiritual matters. And his voice, or their voice, used to bellow out and somehow reach across word by word, mouth by mouth, for different people, because it was like that in those days. Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3 says this: in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. So the office of prophet was really significant to the Jews. If they wanted to hear things from God, the prophet's voice had weight behind it. It was one of the key ways of communication. Amos 3:7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. And you can be sure, whatever God's got planned for us, for his church, even today, he will speak through the prophets. Somebody out there will know. And he'll give them an anointing that their words impact those who need to hear it. It's on an individual basis, or it could be on a national basis. But he lets people know what he's doing. The prophets acted as watchmen. There was Habakkuk on the walls of the city, the watchman who would then relay what God was saying to the people. There was warnings of judgment, like Amos, for example, speaking to Israel, telling them what's going to happen, not just to their enemies, not just to the countries around them, but lo and behold, to them as well, if they didn't listen to the voice of God, what God was saying. There was the prophets were used for speaking about future events, Jeremiah and the fall of Jerusalem. He foretold all that. And there were specific acts through these men of God. Elijah, no rain for 3 years until he spoke again, and then the rain started. They were agents of miracles. Elijah, Elisha. And they were interpreters of dreams. People like Daniel. God communicating to a needy world. God communicating to a needy people. God communicating to his people. And they paid a high price. Some were stoned. Some went through depression. Some were imprisoned. Some were exiled, and some were put to death. The sad thing was that people, so many, the majority, would not listen when God spoke through their message. And therefore, in that verse it tells us, but in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son, the ultimate messenger. You're not going to listen to my prophets. You're not going to listen to the voices that have risen. I'm going to send my Son. Listen to him. And as we come into Christmas, this wonderful season, it's the moment when Jesus came. The moment when he came as a baby. The ultimate messenger. It's very interesting. Because we knew him as the Son of God. But the favorite name that Jesus had for himself was Son of Man. And I know when people hear Son of God, they think, oh, well, God made him. he's less than God. But that's not what the scripture says. Son of God means he is God. His favorite name for himself was the Son of Man. And that's what he called himself throughout his time. The Son of Man. And that refers to his nature. He was fully man. Fully man. He was one of us. That was his favorite term because he wanted to identify with us. So he didn't have to call himself the Son of God because that's who he was and is. So he called himself the Son of Man. He wanted them to know, this, I'm identifying with you. Son of God, therefore also, if Son of Man refers to his human nature, Son of God refers to his God nature. He's God. And he didn't have to call himself that. He was looking out to see if people recognized that God walked amongst them. A title he didn't have to boast about or do anything about. He needed people to discover that for themselves. And so Jesus came. Jesus came. The day arrived when Jesus was born. We've been enjoying doing the nativity and relaying this story to the kids as well, giving them reason to know, well, why is the birth of Jesus so important? Why is it so significant? That's an important part of the presentation that we do, as well as the fun with the quiz, just correcting a few misconceptions about the nativity. And then also the actual nativity play itself, involving them with their costumes and stuff. You have just a wonderful time. Four things I just want to quickly mention about people whose ears had heard, whose had an intellectual kind of awareness of the Messiah, but then it came alive when they actually saw him. The first was the shepherds. The shepherds. And so let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left him and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had seen, had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. You see, they had heard. The shepherds were pretty low in the society because of their contact with sheep and all the time. And so, you know, temple-wise, they had to be cleansed and purified. They were looked down on, basically. It was a lowly job, but it was an important job. And yet they were the ones who this incredible miracle happens to. A host of angels, not just one initially, but then a whole host of angels appeared. It must have been shocking. It must have been something that really made them shake in their shoes. Because as usual, when one angel appears, they always say, "Don't fear. It's not a ghost. I'm not a ghost, okay? So what it must have been like when, you know, a myriad of angels appeared. And so they said, well, let's go and see. You see, they'd heard, and on that inquisitiveness, praise God for inquisitiveness, particularly on spiritual things, but not so good just on being nosy as a neighbor or anything like that. Off they went. They arrived, and they were the first in. And then they saw Jesus. And when they had seen him, it caused them then to spread the word concerning what they'd seen. Something happened between here and here. Because we can have it up here, we can have the knowledge, we can have the intellect, but until something happens here, it just washes over us. And friends, I pray this morning, you know, Spirit of God has been here. Amen. It's just been a beautiful presence of the Lord here. But you might have it up here intellectually about God and your ideas about God, about Jesus. But I tell you, what needs to happen is for you to meet him. To meet him. Because when you meet him, everything makes sense. If it's purely left to your intellect, then you'll never get it. You'll never get it. Because you cannot rule out faith. We need faith to believe. I heard about the queen, but then there she was in front of me shaking hands. And it was beautiful. And it went from here to here. It caused an emotional reaction. It caused an openness of heart and spirit. And when you meet Jesus, friends, it causes an openness of heart and an openness of spirit. And I pray today, I pray that for believers here this morning, for all of us, that if there's been any hardening of heart, anything which is stopping that reaction, that love from flowing, that today you will see Jesus. It won't be just an intellectual exercise listening to a sermon, but right where you are, in your spirit, Jesus will come and you will open the door and say, come in. And you'll begin to understand exactly what Jesus did for you on that cross. You'll begin to understand the cost that God paid, the giving up of his throne to come like us, the ridicule by those he had created, and yet they mistreated him. They didn't recognize who he was. The shepherds, they were the first. The second were the wise men mentioned in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Traveling from their homeland, again, obviously very wise men, we call them, very intellectual, and astrologers, they looked at the stars, and somehow God used that. God used their inquisitiveness, and they were compelled in their method of belief to say, this signifies the birth of a king. Let's go. And off they went. It says in verse 11 of chapter 2, on coming to the house, what? Not to the stable? On coming to the house, because of course their time of arrival was way after the stable. Yeah? If you look at the Bible, this is one of the questions we ask the kids and it shocks them. Huh? By time of the arrival, they'd moved to a house. They weren't in the stable then. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When the Magi, just like the shepherds, when they saw Jesus, there was a transfer of intellect from here to here. Something happened in the heart. Something happened in the heart. I think for all of us, at some point in time, we, in our family connections and stuff, have beheld a baby. And we've heard about it. For us, when our first child was born, you know, you've heard about it and the joy of it all. And then, so you've got all the stuff. You've even prepared everything beforehand. And then there's baby. And something happens from here to here that can be received in no other way than actually fellowship and communing with that child. Being there, seeing, holding. There was a transfer, not just intellect, but of the heart. And that it caused them to worship him. To worship him. Big men, powerful men, rich men, men of substance, and yet they humbled themselves before this child because something happened in here. For the shepherds, their reaction was, let's go. Let's go and tell everybody. For them, they worshipped. And then thirdly, there's the disciples. 1 John 1:3, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, we testify to it, we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What caused these guys? Because virtually all of them died for being followers of Jesus. Most of them in horrible circumstances, whether crucified or whether hung upside down or whether hit with swords or whatever, as they took the message out and continued. And on their sacrifice, we are here today, the Church of God. Now, it wasn't just a good idea that sent them out there. It wasn't just an intellectual exercise amongst other philosophies that caused them to give themselves, knowing that they could well have to lay down their lives for this message because others wouldn't believe. It was more than that. It was this encounter that they had with the living Christ. It was the encounter that they had which caused something to explode from here to here. And it changed them from the inside out. I couldn't have said it any better myself, the way he describes it, which we have seen, which we have touched. He walked amongst us, lived amongst us. We know that this wasn't just a man, it was God. And it changed them. But what is the beautiful thing is, the way he's put it down here is, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son. Because it's not just knowing about him, it's not just meeting him, it's the joy then of fellowshipping with him. Jesus is my friend. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He has paid the price, but he's also my friend. He's also the one I walk with. He's also the one who talks with me. He's also the one who helps me. He's also the one who encourages me. He's also the one who has a plan and a purpose for my life. He is my chief mentor for life. And that's a big difference from just talking or knowing. It's when you meet and fellowship. And finally, there's us. There's us. John 20, verse 28. Thomas said to him, doubting Thomas, amen? Said to him, my Lord and my God. When he met Jesus, the risen Christ, because he didn't believe that he rose from the dead. The others were saying, he's alive. No, not until I put my hand in his side. Not until I get some physical evidence. Not until I get some intellectual satisfaction here. I've got to see it. And then Jesus appeared. My Lord. My God. That's us. Because we doubt. There were times when we didn't believe, when we didn't yield, when we didn't surrender our lives to our Creator. We doubted for whatever reason. But when we met him, not dead, not a figure of history, but someone who is alive and I can speak and have in relationship with right now, wow, it went from here to here. My Lord, my God. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him, to say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Let's pray. If that's your prayer this morning, you want to see Jesus. Just as the shepherds saw the baby and their lives were changed. Just as the wise men came and their lives were changed. They wanted to worship him. The shepherds wanted to go and tell everybody. Just as the disciples fellowshipped with him. He lived amongst them. If that's you this morning, say, I want to see Jesus. I want to see you, Lord. Please, I'm an intellectual, but help me. Lay down my intellect and allow faith to arise. Come, soften my heart. I'm yours. If that's you, just give me a wave. Just wave your hand, take it down again before I close with prayer. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Shall we all pray together this prayer? It might just to help someone who might feel a little shy. It's a prayer not to me, it's to the Lord. So it's a personal one. And it's a prayer that asks Jesus to come in to our lives. It's a prayer of yielding to him. And if that's what you'd love to do, pray as we all pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I realize I am a sinner. I come short of your standards. I know that you died for my sin. Because you love me. Please, come into my life. Forgive me my sin. Cleanse me and make me new. And give me the strength to follow you from now on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Shall we look up, friends? God is good. God is good. And what a way to enter into Christmas. The coming of that babe. signifies God bringing the possibility, the reality of peace between God and man through his sacrifice. So we have a lot to be thankful for. So please, before you leave, if you did pray that prayer, come and see us, chat to us. I'll just be at the doors. And then also...